Welcome back. 3:50, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times, and I'm joined now by Jim Robbins, senior editorial writer here at the Washington Times, with the Robbins Report. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. Just doing fine. I just happened to get a glimpse at the TV here a moment ago, and it appears that the Medals of Freedom are being awarded by the president at this very hour, and I just happened to look up, and I see that John Glenn is there, and he is going to be a recipient. Madeleine Albright is there, and then I see Bob Dylan. And it just seems very, very odd to me that Bob Dylan is getting a Medal of Freedom. But, hey, that's just me.
Well, you know, the thing about Bob Dylan is I think that a lot of the sort of left-wing views that have been ascribed to him are actually what people hoped he would think. And, in fact, as I understand it, he's a lot more of a conservative, pro-American guy than people know.
Is that right? Is that true? I never knew that about him. Wow.
Yeah, apparently he was more hijacked by the left than a true lefty, so who knows?
Yeah, interesting. All right, on to other things. In fact, one of your editorials, giving the Internet to the UN. All right, first of all, when I saw this, I said, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me, right? But no, you're not kidding.
Not kidding, sadly. And a group led by Russia and China, you know, the freedom-loving countries of the world, are petitioning to have the United Nations, through the International Telecommunications Union, essentially take over access and monitoring content on the Internet. And the U.S. Congress is taking up this proposal this week.
Please tell me this can't happen.
Well, I don't think that our government would agree to it. Certainly, congressional Republicans are not in favor of it. I don't think Democrats are in favor of it. I don't think the administration's in favor of it. But just the audacity of these authoritarian countries where the Internet is controlled, censored, and you can get put in jail for things that you post, of saying that, you know, the United Nations should really be in charge of this and, you know, essentially allowing them to snuff out what the Internet has become, which is this great voice of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's why they're doing it.
Yeah. One of the other things you were working on, and it was called to my attention just the other day, signing America's thank you card. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, the Vietnam veterans, when they came back from their war, were not really treated very well by a lot of people in the country. I think, you know, hardcore extremists would spit on them and call them baby killers.
Yeah.
And but I think many Americans who did support them were kind of shamed into silence or, you know, told that the war was immoral and they just went with that. So there's this lingering sense of disquiet amongst the Vietnam vets that they were not really given the honor that they deserved. So a group called Veterans in Defense of Liberty is undertaking a campaign that was kicked off on Memorial Day to have a national thank you card being signed for the Vietnam vets. And the way it works is you just get in touch with this group, and they send you something to sign. It's on a sticky label, and you send it back, and they peel it off, and they're going to put it on this thank you card, which apparently will be able to accommodate millions of signatures.
Huh, interesting. So, all right. Now, I also understand that yesterday you were part of a wreath-laying ceremony at Arlington.
Yeah, this took place on Sunday. I was there on behalf of the 3rd Infantry Division Association, of which I'm associate member. I was never part of that unit, I was helping escorting a World War II veteran down the stairs to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns. This gentleman named Ken Young, who's very aged and he can't walk very well, so I was there to support him and help him as part of the honor guard for this wreath-laying ceremony.
Huh. Yeah, that, you know, it's a very moving venue. I mean, just to stand there and observe, you know, is one of those special moments in a life. I can't imagine being part of a ceremony there. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it was incredibly moving. Just being there, going down the steps towards the tomb, you know, and hearing the, you know, the commands and watching the wreath being laid, seeing the skyline of Washington out ahead just being in that historic spot. Really a hard to describe, very moving experience, but I would encourage anyone who's in Washington area, go to Arlington National Cemetery, visit the Tomb of the Unknowns and the other things that are there, the Kennedy Memorial, the Arlington House, and just go there. It is America's hallowed ground, and you have to see it.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the stories I was going to talk to you about this afternoon was for the first time since 1944, we have two candidates for president that have no military background. Obviously, President Obama doesn't, nor does Mitt Romney. What does that mean, in your mind, to have a president with no military background, if anything?
Well, you know, not a lot of Americans have served. It's not like during World War II when we had millions and millions of people going overseas. Since then, the proportion has gone down quite a bit, so it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But our country has always been one in which we've had civilian control of the military. So, I mean, in that sense, having a military man as president, it really isn't necessary. And certainly there's a difference between the military service of, say, Dwight Eisenhower and Ronald Reagan. So, you know, I don't know that it really makes that much of a difference, but it does underscore that the number of people who have served are definitely in the minority, and people have to, those who are not exposed to military culture on a daily basis, really have to try to understand what the troops go through and what their lives are like.
Yeah, I would agree with you. All right, Jim, always good to talk to you, my friend. We'll do it again next week. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Annie.
Take care. Jim Robbins, senior editorial writer here at the Washington Times. He joins me every Tuesday afternoon with the Robbins Report. It's 3:57 on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.